This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. Have you ever known someone who has the tendency to be just downright selfish sometimes? Some of you just rolled your eyes. Maybe you're sitting next to that person. Don't admit that right now. There's this one guy I know who's, really nice guy. Obviously, just loves his family, cares a lot for people. But every once in a while, he has this real tendency to just be selfish. As a matter of fact, I want to show you a picture of this guy. You might know him. I want to show you a picture of him because you may know him, so why don't we go ahead and put that picture up. Go ahead. Yes, that's me. That's me. I'm talking about me, actually. And I know some of you right now are reeling from the shock and awe of my confession this morning, right? But the fact is, sometimes I just really, really, really like to do things my way. Oh, yeah, I mean, I just do. And as a result, there are times, and I know this is going to probably shock a couple of you, but there are times when my concern for me and myself and my preferences and my way of doing things actually causes me to put myself and my needs before others. Sometimes it is just easy for me to become all about my space, which, of course, is the name of the series that we've been in for these last few weeks that we're wrapping up today, where we've been really asking the question of what our lives might look like if we were to, intentionally work at turning my space into our space, what it might look like if we were to live in such a way that my way and your way actually took a backseat to your preferences, my desires, my way of doing things, and put others first, and how that would affect our relationships. And I know because I've read so many of your emails, and I've ran into a bunch of you at Starbucks, and you've told me over and over, I've heard the same thing. Scott, man, oh, stop this series, man. You are talking right to me. And see, I think the reason that so many of us can relate to this is because all of us have this tendency. You have it, I have it, this tendency to hang out in my space and to live a life that is more about me, more about you than it is about others. We all have that. And in a way, it's almost like there's this gravitational pull in all of us that just keeps us coming back to our needs and our wants and the way we want to see things happen. And here's the thing. I'm convinced that it's not because we're bad people, right? I mean, it's not even because we don't care about people. But the fact is, from the moment that you and I were born, the minute we enter into this world, there is this natural pull towards self. I mean, just think of babies. Think about infants. I mean, take my 2-year-old, for example. Oh, she's such a doll. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you what, you know this, and I know this. Those kids, when they're at that age, and she's about 2 years old, she's at this age where she is sort of just struggling to realize that, she is not the only one in our households with needs. Oh, yeah, because everything's about her. And not only that, but she thinks she owns everything. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, yeah, the cell phones, they're not ours, they're hers. The computers, they're not ours. Why would we think that? They're hers. I mean, all the technology, the iPods, they're not ours, they're hers. But her toys, her colorful toys, her fun little children's version of the iPod, no, she doesn't want that, that's not hers. But if it's ours, it's hers, you know? I mean, just think about it, and we're like that, aren't we? From the moment that we're born into this world, we are all about us. It's just the way we are. And it's true, I think, in so many relationships in our lives, we tend to gravitate towards self. In our parenting, a lot of times, in our friendships, in our dating relationships. And you know, it can especially be true, and those of you who've been married for any length of time, you'll probably agree with me, this can be especially true when it comes to our marriages. And see, here's the thing. Most marriages never start out this way, do they? No, of course not. I mean, as a matter of fact, for most of us, we're sort of just at the, when we get married, we're at the extreme opposite, aren't we? Oh yeah, we're all about meeting their needs. Oh yeah, because it's all about that man or that woman, right? It's all about them. And we bend over backwards to meet every need, to fulfill every desire, every want, every need. I mean, it's all about the other person. But then, and this happens to almost all of us, I think, at some point, the months, the years go by, and a little conflict sort of pops up over here. We begin discovering a few weaknesses over here, and a little more time goes by, and suddenly little babies start showing up. And the jobs start getting more complex, and the needs become greater. And before we know it, we find that the communication element begins getting a little bit less and less over time and a little bit more shallow. And suddenly, if we're not careful, we find that our marriages have become more focused on me and my needs and my space than on us and our needs and our space. But yet, because the needs and the wants and the desires and all those things, because they never just disappear, suddenly we find ourselves looking around for ways to get those needs met. And a lot of times, we begin looking outside of the marriage relationship. And slowly but surely, we end up drawing further and further away from one another. And our marriage relationship becomes everything but the kind of relationship that God so desires for us to experience. And see, here's why this is such a problem. Okay, look, outside of the fact that this is how things like affairs and divorces tend to show up in our relationships, which obviously bring a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, but even beyond that, I think probably the saddest part of it all, the part that I would guess probably saddens the heart of God more than anything, is the fact that when this happens in our marriages, when you or I begin making our marriages more about me and my space and myself and what I want than it is about us and our space, we miss out. We miss out, and we miss out big time on a relationship that God says can be one of the most incredible, most fulfilling experiences of our entire lives. We miss out. So what do we do? What do we do? I mean, how do we live in such a way that fulfillment and that joy and that love that God says that we can experience in our marriages truly happen? How can we live in a way that happens? Well, I think probably the best place to start is by going to the one who, if you really think about it, the one who really came up with this whole idea of marriage. And just find out what he has to say about it. And of course, I'm talking not only about the creator of marriage, but I'm talking about the creator of the universe, God, who's the one who came up with this whole idea of marriage, and who, believe it or not, actually has a lot to say to us in his word about marriage. He's got a lot to say to us. So there's actually a great starting point for us. And if you have your Bibles, I want to go to Ephesians this morning, or you can look at our screens. But Ephesians chapter 5, which is really just this vital starting point if we're going to have the kind of marriages that God desires for us to have. Let me show it to you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, which is in the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul was writing to a church in a city called Ephesus. And Ephesians chapter 5, most of you remember we sort of hit this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, that one. Oh, yeah. Some of you are actually hoping we wouldn't hit this one today. Ha ha! because let's face it, this is a tough one. I mean, this is a tough scripture. In fact, this is one of those scriptures that, like, if there was a way, and if it was allowed that we could actually create our own version of the Bible, which we don't actually do that, but sometimes we do, don't we? Like, we're just going to forget that part. This is one of those passages that we'd probably elect not to have in there because it's pretty uncomfortable. Let me show it to you. Now that you're all excited, let me show you. Paul begins by talking about the role of the wife in the marriage. He talks about wives. And this is what he says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Now, guys, even though you wanted to nudge your wife while I was reading that, the bottom line is you better not. Because first of all, you know this and so do I, okay? We're not allowed to do that. No. The nudge, that's a one-way deal, isn't it? Oh, yeah, think about it. I mean, Amanda and I, we got to dinner with someone, and I'll be talking or something, and conversation comes up, and all of a sudden, I feel under the table, I feel this tip, this tap, which basically means one of two things. It either means shut up right now, or stop talking and get me some dessert now. But see, here's the thing. It only works for our wives, because the minute that you or I try doing the tap, ho-ho-ho, because you know what happens. First of all, the look, right? Is there a problem? Is there a reason that you're tapping me under the table? No, I must have had a little mini seizure or something. I don't know. But here's the thing, it only works for our wives, right? So anyway, guys, you know that tap or that nudge, you can't do that. And besides, okay, now we're gonna hit you guys, okay? So let's look at the next one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. Okay, now all the wives in unison. All the wives, go ahead and nudge your husbands because you can do it. Go ahead. Okay, so you have three roles here. You have three roles. You have the role of Christ, which we're told is to be the head over the marriage relationship, and specifically over the husband. Okay, and then it says that the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the household and the covering over his wife. And then we see that the role of the wife, wives, your role, is to be your husband's helper, his supporter, his counselor, and his friend. Now, I don't know, I just know anytime we talk about, we look at a scripture like this, just like we, even a couple weeks ago, there can be a little discomfort in the room among us, can't there? And the truth is, I understand, because guess what? Whenever I read this, I get a little bit uncomfortable. I really do. There's time, I read this and I go, oh boy, I'm not sure I am doing as good of a job at this as I should be, because this is challenging. And beyond that, I think a lot of people have trouble with the scripture. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I think a lot of people have trouble with the scripture, because if you've been around churchianity for any portion of your life, you'll know as well as I do, and we've probably seen this, there are pastors who are usually men, or husbands who are also usually men. Anyway, who've done a really great job at presenting like half of this whole passage. And they become really good at focusing on the woman's role. They can preach that. Oh, yeah. But for whatever reason, they stop reading, or they've missed out on like half of it and missed out on that huge responsibility that God places on us as husbands to lead and love our wives like Christ himself leads and loves us. So I understand why people have trouble sometimes grasping this, because sure, there have been some people who have just gone in the ditch with this, or they have used this to even be somewhat abusive or to be controlling in a wrong way or whatever. But here's the thing, man. Look, I mean, it doesn't mean we can just pretend it's not in the Bible. We've got to look at it. We've got to address it. We've got to find it, because look, there's a reason God puts this in there. And it's not just so that, we can be angry at each other because we don't like this scripture, right? It's because God wants us to have a great marriage. But just think about the wording that God says here. Think about this. He says, go all out in your love for your wife. Men, husbands, that's what God says. Go all out in your love for your husbands, or your wives. No, your wives. Exactly as Christ did for the church. He says this, it's a love that's marked by what? Giving, not getting. And then he says this, everything you do should be about bringing the best out of your wife, bringing the best, building her up, encouraging her. And then wives, what does it say? Understand and support your husbands. And in some versions, it actually says, as unto the Lord. In other words, understand and support your husband. And when you do that, wives, when you understand, when you support, when you submit to the leadership, it's in a way, it says you're doing it to God himself. Now, husbands, that doesn't mean you can act like God, okay? Just, I had to throw that little disclaimer in there. Anyway, but here's what I really want you to see in all of this. In all of these scriptures, this whole passage, and this is so important, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, is not about, well, you know, the husband's over here and the wife's over here. We're going to create this organizational chart. No, no, it's not about that. The role of the husband and the role of the wife, even though very different, is actually the same in the sense that it's all about giving ourselves unselfishly to one another. I mean, if you had to summarize this whole thing, you could say that this is all about, in the marriage relationship, giving yourselves unselfishly to one another, putting each other first. That is God's idea of what a marriage should look like. Laying aside what I want, laying aside Scott's agenda, laying aside my preferences, and loving my wife, and my wife loving me with a love that constantly says, you first. I put you first. I want to meet your needs. I mean, that is God's idea of marriage. Two people joining together to live the most selfless lives possible. Perhaps another way you could say it is this. A satisfying marriage is a selfless marriage. You might want to write that down today. A satisfying marriage is a selfless marriage. In other words, look, the more that I live, my life is about my wife, my spouse, the more that my life is about them, the more satisfaction I will experience. And I know that goes total contrary to what we would think, isn't it? But it's so true. Wives, the more you put your husbands first, the more you honor and respect his leadership, the more fulfilled you will be. It's amazing how that works. The more I focus on others, the more my own needs will be met. And that's part of the reason I love this church so much. I'm serious, man, because this is a community right here that really believes that the church exists beyond just for those on the inside. Now, I love that, and you believe that what we do here every weekend and when we gather here, it's not just about us and our preferences and what we want, which is why our goal here is to create the most irresistible environments that we can. And I love that most of you get this. I love that. And the more we focus on meeting the needs of those outside of these walls, the more God will see to it that our needs are met. Don't you believe that? I really do. And that's exactly, you can clap for that. That's good, isn't it? That's good news. And see, that's exactly what happens when we live in this reality in our marriages. The more fulfilled I help my wife become, the more fulfilled I help my wife feel, the more fulfilled I will be. That is God's way. So what does it mean? I mean, what does this look like? How do you live this in your everyday life? I mean, if it's true, okay, if a truly satisfying marriage is the result of a selfless marriage, then how do we do it? How do we move from me to we? How do I get that language out of my marriage that's all about me and make it about we? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to get really practical with you this morning. And if you would take your service guide out, I want you to write a few things down. In fact, I want to give you three words to write down. And then we're going to talk about them for just a second. Those three words are these. Discover, learn, wow. I think we should say those together. Are you guys ready? Let's say them together. Because you guys kind of seem like you might be a little bit asleep tonight. It's too dark in here. We need to bring the lights up, wake you all up. All right, ready? Let's say them together. Discover, learn, wow. Say it again. Ready? Discover, learn, wow. Oh, yeah, that was good. Three things that are going to help us go from being all about me to we when it comes to our marriages. The first word is discover. Moving from me to we begins by discovering one another's needs. It begins by discovering each other's needs. What are your husband's needs? What are your wife's needs? Man, Scott, that's a great question because sometimes I don't think she even knows what she needs. I'll tell you what she needs. No, no, it's not what you think she needs. I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes we go, man, I just don't know. Well, have you asked her? Have you asked him? Wives, have you taken the time to ask your husband what his needs are? One way to discover what those needs are is by simply asking. So part of getting your needs met, I think, is by you, as the spouse, taking the time to identify what your needs are and communicating those. Yeah, well, Scott, I just feel like I have so many needs. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm talking about here non-negotiables. I'm talking about the big ones, the things that you just absolutely have to have if you're going to be satisfied, fulfilled in this marriage relationship. For example, one way to sort of figure out what those essential needs are is to answer this question. You might want to write this down. In order to be truly satisfied or fulfilled in this marriage, I need my spouse to blank. In order to be truly satisfied and truly fulfilled in this marriage, I need my spouse to blank. What are those things that you absolutely must have if you're truly going to be fulfilled in your marriage? And I'm talking about, again, the non-negotiables. For example, some of you might say, you know, in order to be fulfilled in this marriage, I need my spouse to show me affection. If you've never read the book Five Love Languages, you should read that. That's an incredible book about marriage that would help your marriage big time. But you know, that book talks about how a lot of times one of those needs for women and men too is affection. I'm the kind of guy, that's definitely one of mine. I need affection. When I go home at night, I need the hug. Give me the hug. I want the family hug, all of them. And if I don't get the hug, I'm kind of like, what's up? You mad at me? Maybe it's communication. Maybe that's your thing. If you don't have communication, you just disconnect from the relationship. Or maybe it's patience. So in helping your spouse to discover what your needs are, you might say something like this: in order to be fulfilled and happy in this marriage, I need you to be patient with me as I learn how to be a better parent. I need you to be whatever. I need you to show me more affection. Whatever it is, what are your needs? And see, here's why this is so important, because so many times what happens in our marriages is we assume that we know what the other person's needs are. Or worse yet, we assume that whatever our needs are what theirs are. And so we know what we want, so we try giving them what we know makes us happy, assuming that's going to meet their needs, and more than likely, they're not going to meet their needs. So part of turning me into we in our marriages is by taking the time to discover each other's needs. More on that in a second. The second word is learn. Everyone say learn. Okay, not only do you need to discover each other's needs, but you need to learn how to meet those needs. And see, this is huge because let's say that one of the things at the top of your let's say, guys, let's say your wife says, I need you to respect me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Sorry, I said to get that out. It was up there. I just had to. Anyway, but let's say your wife says, I need you to respect me, hon. Just need to respect me. Well, what does that mean? I mean, how do I show respect to my wife? I mean, I have maybe in my head what I think respect is. I mean, because there's a lot of ways to show respect, right? I mean, does that mean that every time I walk by my wife, I bow to her? Some of you actually like that idea, don't you? I saw you write, you're like, I don't know, bow. But no, more than likely, passing her in the hallway and bowing to her is probably not going to fulfill her need to be respected, right? However, maybe something as simple as me looking at her in the eye when I'm talking to her is a way that I show her respect. Maybe just talking for a change will show my wife respect, right? So you need to find out. I mean, maybe it has to do with the way you talk to her, the way, the tone of your voice. Whatever it might be, moving from me to we, we've got to discover what the needs are. And then we've got to learn how to meet those needs. The third word is the word wow. Everybody say wow. Wow. A selfless marriage is a wowed marriage. And I don't mean wow as in like, wow, I can't believe that you were home with the kids all day and all you fed them was Pop-Tarts and ice cream. I'm not talking about that kind of wow. I'm talking about wow as in wow, I can't believe you did this for me. That's awesome. I mean, I'm talking about wowing by going above and beyond what is even necessary or expected. Going above or beyond meeting those basic requirements. So let me just ask you a question, okay? Wives, when is the last time that you wowed your husband? Husbands, when is the last time that you wowed your wife? Was it her birthday? Because see, that doesn't count. Because it's her birthday. That's called birthday present. And if you forget to do that, she has every right to go medieval on you. when's the last time you wowed your spouse? Now, we could stop there, but then I think we'd be incomplete because I want to actually ask you to do these things. I'm going to give you a way to do it, okay? So I'm going to give you an assignment. Yes, I know. Christmas is next week. It's okay. See, that's what makes this so beautiful. If you still do this, and I hope you do, even with all the stuff that's going on, do you realize what that says to your spouse? Do you realize the message that sends? You're saying, you know what? I am serious about this. So here's what I want you to do. Sometime this week, okay? In fact, in the next couple of days, I want you to help your spouse discover your needs. I want you to help them because you need to help them do that. And so what I want you to do is find some time to sit down by yourself, and what I want you to do is write down your top 4 or 5 needs. What are those needs? I want you to think through them, and again, ask yourself this. In order to be fulfilled, in order to be truly happy in this marriage, I need my husband, I need my wife to do these 3, 4, 5, 29 things. No, I'm kidding. Seriously, keep it short, okay? Don't overwhelm them. Because if you got 29 things, maybe your husband's not the problem. Anyway, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Don't send me another email. All right? Okay. And again, so we're talking about non-negotiables here, the big one. Now, after you make the list, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to schedule a date with your spouse. It can be lunch, coffee, dinner, whatever, okay? But it needs to be at a place you can talk, okay? And I'm not talking about Chuck E. Cheese, okay? While your kids are running around in a germ-infested playground screaming at the top of their lungs, okay? I'm talking about a place you can talk, all right? And I know that I just said two words that might be somewhat foreign to some of you, date and talk. Just write them down. You can Google those later. Anyway, but I want you to schedule a date, okay, for this coming week, and I want to challenge you to take a break from just the craziness of your life to show one another that this is a priority, because again, a truly satisfying marriage is going to be a selfless marriage. And then here's what I want you to do. When you're on the date, I want you to swap the needs list. I want you to swap the list, and I want you to read them to one another. Okay, so your husband will read your wife, he'll read your needs, vice versa, okay, you swap them. And then I want you to take it a step further by giving each other one way that they can intentionally meet the need, one of those needs that's listed on that sheet. So under each one, I want you to give them one way. In other words, when you do this, hon, this is a way that you show me respect. Or when I say communication, this is what I mean by that. Or when I say that I need, you know, I mean, you can go on and on here, affection, you know, I mean, what? So let's say one of your needs is affection. Wives, don't assume that your husband knows what affection is, because chances are you may not be talking about sex. Anyway, it's kind of a joke. Guys hear affection, they're just like, oh. So clarify, tell them. Tell her how or what affection looks like to you. And then one more thing. I want you to find one way between now and the end of the year. I'm going to give you a little more time. By the end of the year, which is like 2 weeks. Here's the thing, okay? I want you to wow your spouse between now and the end of the year. I want you to find a way to wow them. I want you to hear those words out of their mouth. Wow. Wow. And here's the thing. It may not even be as tough as you think. Just some of you guys that actually showed up at church today, you just wowed your wife by doing that. So there, I mean, how easy was that? No, I want you to find a way to wow your spouse. And I'm not even going to give you an example of how to do it because you might steal it and use it, and I don't want you to do that. But I want you to come up with your own idea and do something to wow your spouse between now and the end of the year. Everybody understand what they're going to do now? You're going to get together. You're going to do a date. You're going to talk about the needs. You're going to write them down. You're going to give them to each other, and you're going to talk about one way that they can meet that need in your life. What's one thing they can do that'll help do that? So we're going to discover, we're going to learn, we're going to wow. Again, why? Because a satisfying marriage is a what? Selfless marriage. And really, I'll tell you, these are just starting points for how to be a selfless spouse. This is a starting point. I mean, a husband or a wife that wants to truly be fulfilling one another, it's just the starting point. And I'm telling you, this will change your marriage. I promise you, if you do this, it will change your marriage. It will get you on a road, on a path. And you know what? Most of you don't need counseling. You just need to sit down and take the time to do this. Just think about what your relationship with your husband or your wife could look like if you began living for one another. Not just living with, but you began living for one another. Or how about those other relationships? I mean, think about how this would affect other relationships. Imagine what your friendships would look like. Imagine your families, what that might look like. Or how about this, guys? What about, can you imagine, what about our church community? I mean, think about this. Can you imagine the impact that we could have right here in our own community and then even beyond in other parts of the world if everyone was made a decision we were going to live lives that were not all about us? I'm telling you, these are the people that God is looking for to do big things through. Because just like a satisfying marriage is a selfless marriage, I have to believe that a satisfying church is a selfless church. Do you agree with that this morning? Amen. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray this morning. Would you just take a moment? Those of you who are married this morning, would you just take a moment and ask yourself a couple questions? Would you just think about your marriage relationship this morning? And just think about how you're doing in terms of living selflessly, not selfishly, but selflessly. How are you doing in terms of putting your husband or your wife before you? God, this morning, I want to ask you for your grace and for your help. And God, I think that everybody here would probably be echoing the same prayer right now, and that is that, God, I want to have the absolute greatest marriage that I can have. God, I want to have the most satisfying, the most fulfilled relationship with my wife that we can have. And God, for some of us here today, maybe that is just a matter of making a couple of adjustments here and there. Maybe it's a matter of just doing this exercise and just sitting down. Or God, maybe perhaps for some it's about sitting down and just being really honest and saying, you know what? We've got to start over. We've got to start from scratch. We've got to rebuild this relationship because there is not a foundation there needs to be. God, maybe the next step for some of those individuals today would be just to go home and just have that honest conversation and say, honey, I am sorry because I realize that I've not put you before me and I want to change that. And I wish I wouldn't have done it, but I want to change now. I want to be a different person than I used to be. God, settle these things in our hearts today. In your name, amen.